Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, settle back. We need about 4 hours for this one. All right, there's lots here. Well, we'll see if we can crunch those 4 hours into something a little bit smaller. What a text. What a text. This one talks to us about what we are by nature and what we are by grace. We are by nature children of wrath. By nature, children of wrath. And by grace, children of the Heavenly Father, through the work of Jesus Christ, who died and rose for us. If there's anything that irritates people, it's when somebody else points out what's wrong in what they're doing. Children do not like it in school. You have to color between the lines, or within the lines, or however they're going to hear it. But I don't want to. That's what you have to do. We're going to try and get you to go right down that path everyone should go down. Well, it's kind of good if that's someone teaching us how to drive a car. Okay, so we may not like the color within the lines, but when we're driving, we better stay on our own side. People will tell us all sorts of kinds of things of what we are to do. And just the resistance that comes into our minds when we think we've done a good job, and then someone comes along and says, you could have done that better. Just that resistance lets us know that we are at odds with other people. And God, for many people, is the big version of that. Always finding fault. In fact, the church has kind of helped that out because much of preaching of the law has come around in terms of, you could have done this better. You weren't doing enough here. You weren't doing enough there. This doesn't look right. That doesn't look right. And the result we're kind of left with then is try harder. Try harder. See if you can be a better person. This text says, don't bother. Don't waste your time trying to get better. Because no matter how hard you try, your life on this earth will still come to an end. No matter how good you are, you cannot extend your life or get God to love you because you are born dead spiritually. The Apgar score that they talk about when babies are born, they never say, oh, by the way, spiritually, your child is dead on arrival. Can't love God, can't rejoice in being a creature, going to be turned in on himself or herself and just think of himself or herself and what's convenient and nice and what works well in his life or her life. Not ever going to be able to change it. So the nicest things that we do in our old sinful nature are really still only to take care of ourselves. Even if we do things for other people, it is going to be because we hope to affect our future or our present. There is nothing in us that is selfless. Nothing that we do where we don't try to count the cost, is this worth it or not? And we can't escape that. That's what Paul says here. So what passes for encouragement from the mouth of many Christians is simply, try harder, see if you can be better. And then God will love you. But don't be too sure about whether he loves you now. Why should he love you? You hardly give him anything back. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Well, we'll dole out a little bit, but we all know where to draw the line. Our old sinful nature does. And even our new life in Christ, we find that we're holding back and pulling back. And wait a minute, don't get that caught up in that stuff. Why, if it was because of what's in our sweet little hearts, we'd all be lost. We'd all be lost before a God who says, I am only interested in someone who will give it all. Everything. Hold back nothing. Well, don't bother looking around this place. That's none of us. Because to give it all, the way God talks about it, is to stand in front of him and be willing to take God's wrath against this whole planet on yourself. That he would funnel everything that's in his heart against what's wrong on this earth and everything that's ever been done against him in heart and words and deeds, and pour that wrath out on you. Well, there is one. There is one, God himself, the only one who is really self-giving. Deny ourselves the candy during Lent? No. Deny ourselves that we are in charge. Not just in little things, but that we are in charge of God's love for us. Can't do it. Can't do it. There is nothing within us, because any desire we would have to please God on our own, if we did think that there were deities that needed to be pleased, and many religions have them, would still be only to protect ourselves and not to give ourselves up, to try to affect our future. And a text like this from Ephesians says, don't bother. You were dead as far as your relationship with God when you did all the things that you are now delivered from. You were dead. In other words, no matter what you did, you weren't going to get yourself alive again. You couldn't do it. Dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Those are all little indications, everything that's wrong in our life. Everything even that we might think is right, but that we're trying to affect the world around us and control it, everything that drives us is only for our own self-interest, and to give everything up and be willing to lose it all, well, that's just not in us. And even as Christians, we struggle with that. But first, to hear that God himself took on flesh, and that our Lord, though it was agony for him as well, took the Father's wrath unto himself so that he could deliver us from all of it. Just like that. Not for him, but for us. To take away everything of that brokenness between the Father and us, so that when God comes looking for us, he comes in the Spirit ready to pour out Jesus and his perfection and his desire to honor and serve his Father by giving up everything important. He pours that on us. Just like you might pour a bottle of glue on top of a little piece of wood so that the glue covers it all, he pours himself onto us, his resurrected self, so that when God looks at us, he sees his Son. How many of you hope someday to go to heaven? Too late. You're already there. Another one, Jan, sorry. Because in Christ Jesus, in his heart, we are already at the right hand of God, says it right here in the text. We're already in the presence of God. Too late. Can't be hoping for it someday. Now, I know what you mean. We all want to be in God's presence someday, but we're already in God's presence. And as this text that we looked at here at the altar rail says, our Lord indeed is concerned about every single one of us, that we are settled in our hearts and souls and minds, that we are at peace with him. But saved by grace, not by our works, saved because God pours the benefits of Jesus' death out on all of us, but as the phrase often goes, saved to serve. For God has prepared works for us to do. That's how the text ends. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. So it is not time to simply be stuck, glued to Jesus, and that's the end of it. But to say now, even though what we might say imperfectly, God moves us to deny ourselves and look beyond us to love other people and to care for them and to be involved in their lives and to pick them up when they are down and to help them hear the good news of salvation. He's already been doing it. This is not something we're going to start this morning. It comes because the drive in our new nature is the drive from Christ to love every human being on the planet. And so that's what's natural for us as Christians. It's natural to be concerned about the salvation of others. It's natural to care that their lives will be at peace. It's natural that we want people to be guided by the life and the peace and the grace and the mercy of God, the undeserved love of God that takes us, unworthy and rebellious, in the deadness in which we once walked, and makes us alive, and that can make others alive. And so to recognize when we hear the gospel, the Lord is impelling us to look out beyond ourselves, and not just to say, oh, that was a nice story, I heard it again, now I can go home and go back to my daily life. But to recognize that that urge from inside of us is to find a way to pour that grace out, to help others hear. I'm proud that I'm a Christian. It settles my heart that I know I'm saved by grace and not by what I do. I'm glad that at least there's one place in this world where I'm not judged according to my deeds. And that happens to be in the presence of the throne of God. And thus, when people are complaining about somebody judging them, being down and discouraged, that's the time to say, but isn't it great that there is a place in the presence of the Almighty God where whether we have been perfect or not, our relationship is not based on our deeds, but on an undeserved love that he has given us that is functioning every single day. That grace also can help us to be honorable in our lives, to work as hard as we can, not in order to get something, but so that we can be prepared to give that grace and mercy of God out, to help others know that peace that passes all understanding. We might say, that's pretty hard to do. Our Lord says, I know it. That's why you need to keep hearing the good news, so I can keep encouraging your heart and taking away the resistance. That's why I want to feed you with my body and blood, with my blessing to come upon you, for I have wonderful things to do through each of your lives. You are all so beloved and valuable and important in my kingdom. And I rejoice that I get to go out with you into your world to love those around you with a love that brings dead people alive forever because of my death and resurrection and the power of the Spirit that reconciles all of you to my Father for all eternity. It's a good deal. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.